Welcome back to At Home in Your Hymnal, Pastor Poppy, Pastor Moline. We are we've been talking about gardening here in the break, and so if any of that spilled over into the intro here, we apologize for that. We're looking at the Divine Service, specifically Divine Service 1, page 151 and following in Lutheran Service Book. And in our first two segments, we studied and talked about the salutation, the Lord be with you and also with you. And how what may blow some people's mind is that when the pastor is says the Lord be with you, that's not a pious wish. That is a declaration that the Spirit of God is with you. And the Lord and Spirit of life. The Spirit is Lord, just like we confess in the Athanasian Creed. And if you'd like to talk more about that and the person and work of the Holy Spirit, we'd love to have that conversation. And we promise we'll do a better job of preaching and teaching that consistently as well. After that salutation comes a dinky little prayer. And that dinky little prayer is oftentimes when, you know, somebody will get up in the congregation and go to the bathroom, or they're digging in their purse for their wallet or their checkbook to make out their check for the offering. People, I've kind of noticed over the year, just don't pay much attention to this prayer. Pastor, what is the collect, and why is it important? An important part of the divine service?
Well, the collect is a prayer that takes all the ideas of the worship service and the readings and the scriptures, and hopefully the hymns and stuff reflect that as well. And it puts it into one little prayer where we're asking God to fulfill his promises that he's made in those particular parts of Scripture, and that he might lead us to repentance of our particular shortcomings in regards to that particular part of Scripture. The word collect itself comes from a Latin term, collecta, which is already recorded in use in the Christian church all the way back in the 5th century A.D. You know, it means the gathering of the people together to hear the word, to have this particular prayer in regards to these particular scripture things. And so that's kind of the whole idea. It's a summary of what's going on in that church service for the day.
Okay, I know I've been in some churches, and the vast majority of the churches, the pastor prays the collect of the day. But every once in a while you get into a congregation and they have the tradition, they have the heritage where everybody prays the collect, and it seems a little odd, and it seems a little strange, and it seems a little out of place. In Pastor Fromm's Bible study, he addresses that with regard to the collect. And he says the term collect, and he says, remember the accent is on the first syllable in this context, not collect, but collect, refers to a collecting of the petitions of the congregation into one prayer. The Kyrie is the first prayer of the congregation, and the collect of the day is the opportunity of the pastor to pray on behalf of the entire congregation. For this reason, the entire congregation reading a collect in unison is contradictory to what is going on. Part of the reason the collect is called such is because there, in the collect, the pastor exercises the priestly side of his calling in the name of all the people. By definition, collects are not read corporately. Besides this, for most of the history of the church, the collects would have not been printed out for the congregation to read, but were something heard and therefore were intended to be spoken or sung by the pastor. Your reaction to that rationale for why it may seem a little bit odd to have the whole congregation praying that collect together?
Yeah, I think then you also can see the origin of the collect from before even the time of the so-called Christian church, if you will. I know that the church throughout all the ages of history has been Christian in the fact that it looks to Christ, but if we go to the Old Testament times where the high priest would actually enter into the Holy of Holies to offer petitions and to pour blood out on the Ark of the Covenant on behalf of the people, that's the same sort of thing that's happening here. And it's reflected to how the pastor acts when he prays this prayer. He is in the Holy of Holies of the sanctuary, if you will, up by the altar. He doesn't face the people to pray this prayer, but rather he faces the altar because it is a petition to God. And so this is matching up with that Old Testament thing, and it's been carried through into our church today. And we see that then as a prayer to God on behalf of the people.
And the collects change each day in the liturgical calendar. So there is a collect, a specific collect for Pentecost, a specific collect for Christmas Day, a specific collect for the fourth Sunday after Trinity, and so on. And it reflects the particular theme that is present in the worship services. I know when we do our Proclaiming the One program, we try to bring that out and how the introit does that. The introit really kind of sets the theme and the stage for the day. It is cemented in the gospel reading, reflected in the Old Testament reading, and then a practical application of that is the epistle reading. So everything ties together intrinsically. And what the collect does then is reflects that overarching theme, all of those parts, and sometimes it's a little easier to see than others, but the design is to bring all of that together, and the pastor, on behalf of the people, brings this prayer and petition to the Lord. And in the divine service, it comes very early, so the people know what the theme of the day is going to be in and through that particular collect.
Well, now, in a regard then, too, it's responsive. I mean, we talked in several other episodes about the ebb and flow. God gives and we respond. God gives and we respond. If we've just prayed the salutation, the Lord be with you and also with thy spirit. You see how I did that, combined the two together so we could talk about it. God is saying the Holy Spirit is present here because the word is about to be proclaimed. And in response, then, the pastor prays on behalf of the people this thing. This prayer, this is what your word's going to teach us here in a minute, Lord. Let it do its work in the hearing that we are about to have.
That's good. I like that. And before we move on, and I want to talk about the general structure of every collect, because there, while the collects are all different, there is a clear structure in every one of these collects, and it's a great structure for teaching the individual how to pray as well. But before we do that, you made mention, almost in passing, with regard to when the pastor faces the altar and when the pastor faces the people. Now, I know that not every pastor, chief of sinners though I be, that not every pastor is as consistent in this as they could be or should be. And some pastors just pay no attention to it. They face the altar for everything, or they face the people for everything. Pastor, what is being taught in the liturgical divine service with regard to the pastor when he is facing the altar? He's not intentionally turning his back on the people. Or when the pastor is facing the people, and he's not intentionally turning his back on God. What is going on here in this rhythm and flow that we've talked about so much in the divine service?
Well, this is one of those things that we don't make it a law. We can't force it out upon people. But one of the things that shows reverence to the divine service is that the pastor pays attention to whether the things being spoken or sung are God's people speaking to God, or whether they are God speaking to the people. And this kind of reflects his job as ambassador of God, if you will. When he's speaking a word from God to the people, for example, the absolution, he faces the people to show that this word that is about to be spoken is coming from God to you through my mouth. On the other hand, if the prayer or the part being spoken is going from the people to God, he faces God to say, the things we're saying now, this is what the people are saying to you, God. And so this teaches the people watching, if they pay attention to which way the pastor's facing, they can understand which parts are God's word coming to us and which parts are our response going to God. there's not a law that says you have to do this. It's an act of reverence that helps us to understand what's going on in the divine service and helps us to understand how God works in the divine service. And so it's a good thing for a pastor to do, but there's no law that says he has to. But the pastor who cares about his people and wants them to understand how the divine service works will do this.
It is a wonderful reminder for the people that even in the action of the pastor, the truth of God's word and how he deals with his people is being played out right before them. God graciously brings his word, his blessings, his promises to the people. The people, at the gracious invitation of their Heavenly Father, are invited to bring their prayers, their petitions, their offerings, their sacrifice of praise to God. And if the pastor is consciously thinking about what he is teaching, by how he turns, by his reverent or irreverent actions, because we can teach the irreverence of God by treating the holy things of God flippantly as well. So either in a good or a bad way, I think the people of God, whether this is taught at every service, this is exactly, because that would disrupt the whole service. If the pastor says, okay, I am turning and facing you now because what I want you to, I mean, that would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
But maybe once or twice a year, a narrative divine service or a Bible study on the divine service with certain aspects to help teach these things to the people. And I like to do it in confirmation class with the older kids as a study of the liturgy. And I'm surprised how often, if I make a mistake or if I get lazy, how often one of the kids will say, hey, how come you were facing the altar when you... And that just makes my heart proud when I hear that.
Yeah, and I think the way to do it is in the Bible study or in confirmation. Even I think for confirmation, it's very beneficial for the pastor on a regular basis to take a field trip to the sanctuary to talk about baptism next to the baptismal font, to talk about the Lord's Supper next to the altar, to explain even the little piety, not pietism, but piety that reflects the reverent worship. Why do we kneel to receive the Lord's Supper? And I know we'll get there here eventually as we work through our way through the divine service. But all the things the pastor does reflects a reverent attitude towards God's actual presence in the divine service. From the little things to which way he faces, to when they bow, to how they don't skip and jump around, or they, you know, when does a joke appropriate, when is it not appropriate. All this has a reflection on God's presence in church.
All right, well said. When we come back, we want to take a look at the collect's structure and the very clear structure that is present in every collect and how that might be a blessing for the people of God in their own personal prayer life. For Pastor Moline, this is Pastor Poppy. We're going to take this short break now. Don't change that dial. At home in your hymnal. We'll be right back.